Elizabeth Taylor never considered herself extraordinary, despite her fame rivaling only Jackie Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, and Queen Elizabeth II. Unlike these contemporaries, she thrived under public scrutiny, transforming it into fuel for her remarkable journey. Those legendary violet eyes, so rare they appeared supernatural on screen, became emblematic of her otherworldly presence in American culture. Though celebrated as the most beautiful creature, Elizabeth took greater pride in her acting talent and later her activism. Beyond 8 marriages and dazzling jewels lay a woman of remarkable substance who leveraged her fame when others turned away from the AIDS crisis. Her friend Colin Farrell captured her essence perfectly: limitless, honest, raw, brutal, feminine, delicate, aggressive, tender, warm, and acerbic all at once. Elizabeth Taylor wasn't just a star, she was a constellation unto herself, constantly shifting, yet always brilliant. Born in London in 1932 to American parents, Elizabeth Taylor's path to stardom was driven by her former actress mother, Sarah, while her art dealer father, Francis, watched from the sidelines. The family fled to America in 1939 with merely $25 as war approached. During the voyage, Elizabeth watched Shirley Temple films, unaware she would soon surpass Temple's fame. In Los Angeles, Sarah's calculated networking led Elizabeth to MGM after a brief stint at Universal. Her role in Lassie Come Home launched her career and a lifelong friendship with Roddy McDowall. By 12, her striking beauty had captured Hollywood's attention. Her breakthrough in National Velvet, 1944, came with physical consequences. The writing worsened her congenital scoliosis, while the studio's practice of binding her chest foreshadowed future body image pressures. Elizabeth smoothly transitioned to adult roles, unlike many child stars. Her performance in A Place in the Sun, 1951, established her dramatic credentials and cemented her profound friendship with Montgomery Clift. She would comfort him after emotional scenes, helping him break character when filming ended. Elizabeth's romantic life became as dramatic as any film script. At 18, she married hotel heir Nicky Hilton in a lavish MGM-orchestrated wedding. The fairy tale quickly descended into nightmare when his charming facade gave way to alcoholism and abuse. During their honeymoon, he kicked her in the stomach, causing her to miscarry. "This is not why I was put on earth," she later reflected. The marriage ended after just 8 months. With British actor Michael Wilding, 20 years her senior, Elizabeth found temporary comfort and had 2 sons. But as she grew stronger and more independent, their marriage deteriorated. She craved an equal partner with passion, not a paternal figure. Her third marriage to producer Mike Todd brought the electric connection she desired. "He was my king," she said. Their happiness was tragically cut short when Todd's private plane, the Lucky Liz, crashed in 1958. At 26, with 3 small children, Elizabeth was devastated. "When the plane crashed, I crashed with it." In her grief, Elizabeth turned to Todd's friend, Eddie Fisher, for comfort, despite his marriage to America's sweetheart, Debbie Reynolds. The resulting scandal dominated headlines worldwide. The Vatican condemned her for erotic vagrancy, and she faced bomb threats. Yet Elizabeth was inadvertently pioneering the sexual revolution that would transform American culture in the coming decade. Elizabeth and Richard Burton's meeting on the Cleopatra set in 1962 sparked Le Scandale, a global sensation overshadowing Cold War headlines. Their magnetic chemistry was instant, with Elizabeth describing him as Prince Charming kissing the sleeping princess. While the press condemned her sexuality, yet concealed President Kennedy's affairs, she defiantly rejected this double standard. Their 1964 marriage launched Hollywood's first nicknamed cower couple, Liz and Dick. During their decade together, they starred in 11 films, sailed their yacht Kalisma worldwide, and amassed incredible wealth. Burton showered her with impromptu jewelry gifts because it's Wednesday, including the legendary 33.19-carat Krupp diamond. When receiving it, Elizabeth tackled Richard in joy, quipping, "How perfect it would be if a nice Jewish girl like me were to own it." Their relationship burned with equal parts passion and volatility. After divorcing in 1974, they briefly remarried in 1975, only to separate again in 1976. Even afterward, their connection persisted. Burton would accidentally call his new wife Elizabeth. At 44, Elizabeth dated John Warner, Nixon's former Secretary of the Navy, and Ardashir Zahedi, Iran's ambassador. Though she fell for Zahedi, the Shah of Iran blocked their marriage, objecting to her celebrity status and Jewish heritage. She married Warner instead, supporting his Senate campaign with her star power. But political life proved challenging. Alone most days, instructed to go pour yourself a Jack Daniels and watch TV. Stripped of her previous luxuries, she gained 40 pounds, drinking heavily and taking painkillers to cope with isolation. At 49, fearing death from overdose, Elizabeth spent 3 weeks at a spa, losing 22 pounds and reclaiming her identity. She conquered her fear of live performance by taking a role in The Little Foxes, her first stage work after 50 films. Her transformation to activist began when friend Rock Hudson died of AIDS in 1985. While the disease carried enormous stigma and the Reagan administration remained silent, Elizabeth stepped forward. She chaired the first major AIDS fundraiser, co-founded the American Foundation for AIDS Research, AMFAR, and established the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation. Elizabeth's AIDS activism blended fundraising skill with genuine compassion. At conferences, she'd leverage public pressure to increase donations, famously turning Valentino's $25,000 into $250,000. During hospice visits, she'd arrive in full glamour, wearing her Krupp diamond, holding patients' hands to show it was safe to touch them. Despite owning valuable collections, she faced cash flow issues and pioneered celebrity branding through fragrances. Her perfumes, Passion, 1987, and White Diamonds, 1990s, generated over $1.5 billion, earning her $15 million annually, exceeding her film earnings. In her 70s, she frequented the Abbey in West Hollywood, wearing rhinestone sunglasses and sipping watermelon martinis. There, she witnessed her AIDS activism's impact as gay men approached her wheelchair, often tearfully saying, "You don't know this, but you saved my life." She'd simply respond, "Thank you, love. It was my pleasure." Elizabeth died of congestive heart failure on March 23, 2011. Christie's subsequent auction of her estate brought $183 million, with her jewelry collection alone reaching $144.2 million, items selling for 10 times their estimated value. Elizabeth Taylor transcended being just a beautiful actress, refusing to be limited by others' expectations. She evolved from starlet to humanitarian, wielding her fame for meaningful change. Her foundation continues fighting HIV criminalization while her Malawi health clinics save lives daily. She proved that true beauty lies in resilience and using one's voice for those who cannot speak, her greatest role being the authentic life she lived under the spotlight.